Well, today we conclude the last sermon in our series called Body Language. We've been looking at how there are silent messages that the church speaks that communicate sometimes as much as our words. We were reminded throughout this series that the church is called the body of Christ, that each of us are part of that body. We've talked about the themes of kindness and praise. We talked about the impact of Christian fellowship. My friend Dennis Miller was here last week to talk about service. I heard he did a nice job. Well, today I want to talk to you about the silent message of the church called generosity, and how we communicate the love of God by being generous givers. God designed us to be generous givers, not hoarders, but conduits through which his generosity flows. We're going to spend the bulk of our time in Luke chapter 12 today, looking at these words of Jesus as he taught about the problem of worry. I know that probably doesn't affect you in any way, shape, or form. We're not worriers, are we? The reality is that each of us, we struggle with that from time to time, some more than others. We're often plagued with that problem of worry. Generous giver. A generous giver looks beyond the here and now. In other words, we look beyond our current circumstances, our current situation, and are able to see what God is able to do in the future. Jesus says, "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life. What you eat, your body, what you will wear." Again, he's talking about the future. For life is more than food, and the body is more than clothes. This passage this morning begins with the word therefore, and as you've heard multiple times before, when the word is therefore is there, we have to ask ourselves, why is it therefore? Interestingly enough, the story right before today's reading is the story of the rich fool. Jesus tells a parable about a man who was very wealthy, so wealthy that he had to build bigger barns to hold all of his material possessions. And after talking about this issue of someone who had to build bigger barns to hold his possessions, Jesus then talks about worry. It's almost as if he's talking about the issue of greed and then the issue of worry. And it seems that they're very closely connected in our lives. When we go through periods where we have the greed bug, we feel as though we just can't get enough. And when we're bitten by the worry bug, we wonder if we'll ever have enough. I'm here today to tell you that neither have their eyes on Jesus. So a generous giver looks beyond the here and now. A generous giver remembers how God has provided in the past, and by faith believes that God will provide in the future. Do you believe that today?
Yes.
That the same God, the same Father who loves you and has been faithful to you yesterday, will be faithful to you today. Mm-hmm. Jesus gives us a couple of illustrations to remind us of how valuable we are in God's sight. First, he says, consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. How much more valuable you are than birds. There's a story in the Old Testament with the prophet Elijah. It's in the book of 1 Kings. And there's a drought in the land, and God sends Elijah to a ravine that has been really dried up because of the drought. And God instructs Elijah to live in that ravine. And daily, God sends ravens to feed him. Ravens? When's the last time you saw a raven share its food with someone else? I was sitting in a parking lot last week, and I watched a gentleman throwing bread out into the parking lot, and seagulls were flocking. First one, and then two, and then 88 of them. They just came out of nowhere. And not one seagull decided to share its bread with another seagull. Not one. And yet we're told the story in the Old Testament where God sent ravens to send Elijah, or to feed Elijah. Can you imagine being one of Jesus' followers, listening to him talk about worry? When all along you yourself are worrying how God will provide for you. And then he reminds you that you are much more valuable than some bird. And then he says, consider how the wildflowers grow. They neither labor nor spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. Like you, I've been paying attention to the beautiful leaves on the trees this time of year. There's just been some magnificent maple trees in our neighborhood recently that have just blessed me. The bright yellow ones when the sun hits it just right. The glowing orange and red ones. And then the rain came and knocked them all down. Jesus says, if that is how God clothes the grass of the field, or we might say the leaves, the trees, which are here today and tomorrow are thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? See, a generous giver knows their place in God's economy. They know how valuable they are to God. Much more valuable than the things that they see in the world. Even the animals and the plants. And if God cares for them, how much more will God care for you? That's the whole crux of what Jesus is saying. In Luke 12:32, Jesus says, do not be afraid, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. See, a generous giver gives as they have received. Just as we receive, we give back. One of my favorite Bible verses, no doubt is one of your favorite Bible verses, John 3:16. It says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Did you connect that? That God so loved that he gave. In our earlier reading today from 1 John 3:16, John tells us that this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. It's an interesting thing about that phrase, Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. In the original Greek, it has the image and metaphor of someone taking off a garment and laying it aside. That's how the biblical author chose to describe how Jesus laid down his life for us. He literally, intentionally took it off and laid it aside. Much like we would a coat or some other piece of clothing. And then the biblical author says, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. What I want you to hear today is that generosity, it has an intentionality behind it. A forethought, a planning, a preparation. Not just a reaction to a need, but a planned response to what God has given to you. And what that looks like for us, I believe, is that we give thought and prayer to what we will set aside to give to others. You see, a generous giver, they invest in what they love. That wonderful verse in verse 34, Jesus says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. We love our families. We invest in our families. We love our communities. We invest in our communities. We love our church. We invest in our church. I've known a lot of people over the years who have just been generous givers with their time and their talents and their treasures. And one of the things that people have taught me in the churches that I've been involved in is this. When it's done right, it's really hard to differentiate between loving and giving. When it's done right, it's really hard to differentiate between loving and giving. In his book, Run with the Horses, Eugene Peterson tells how he saw some birds teaching their young to fly. Three young swallows were perched on a dead branch that stretched out over a lake. One adult swallow got alongside the chicks and started shoving them out toward the end of the branch, pushing and pushing and pushing. The bird on the end fell off. Somewhere between the branch and the water below, its little wings started working and the fledgling was off on its own. And then the second one fell off the branch, and just like the first one, somewhere between the branch and the water, the little wing started working and it flew off on its own. But then there was the third one who was not going to be bullied. And so at the last possible moment, this little bird gripped the branch, but it loosened just enough and he swung downward and tightened his grip again. There he was, swinging upside down with a bulldog tenaciousness. The parent pecked at the desperately clinging talons until it was more painful for the chick to hang on than it was to risk the insecurities of flying. Its grip was released and the wings began pumping, and the mature swallow knew what the chick did not, that it would fly. That there was no danger in making it do what it was designed to do. Peterson writes, "Birds have feet and they can walk. Birds have talons and they can grasp a branch securely. They can walk, they can cling, but flying is their characteristic action. But they will not fly. And not until they fly are they living their best life, gracefully, beautifully." He goes on to say, giving is what we do best. It is in the air into which we were born. It is the action that was designed into us before our birth. Some people try desperately to hold on to themselves, to live for self. They look so bedraggled and pathetic doing it, hanging on to the dead branch of selfishness and self-centeredness, afraid to risk themselves on the untried wings of giving. Yet many people don't think they can live generously because they've never tried it. We were created to live generously by giving generously of our time and our talents and our treasures. As Peterson says, we were meant to soar. Howard Hughes certainly illustrates this biblical truth that in his young, youthful days, he was the typical person with passion for pleasure-seeking and an aversion for giving. As he grew older and turned an inheritance into a vast fortune, he became more and more close-fisted. He was stingy and selfish and self-centered. He let his wealth create an ever-increasing barrier between himself and other people. Needless to say, he died a hopeless, miserable recluse. Without question, we were created to soar on the wings of giving. And in sharp contrast to Hughes was a man named George Mueller, who, like Hughes, inherited wealth, but established a lifelong pattern of generous sharing. Mueller's life was characterized by serving the needs of others. He was not stingy or selfish or self-centered. Instead, he poured out his life and his wealth by caring for thousands of orphans in London. His life was marked by joy and fulfillment, by meaning and purpose and contentment. Giving leads to life itself. So what about us? When the world looks at the church, when this community looks at this church, will it see generous givers? People will give of their time and their talents and even their treasures to allow the kingdom of God to be made manifest in this time and in this place. As we prepare for Holy Communion today, I invite you to reflect on what God has given to you and how you, too, might be a generous giver. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your generosity and the ways that you have blessed us. teach us, Lord, to take stock in our blessings and find ways, plan and prepare for ways to share it with others. This we pray in Jesus' name.